It's Motzei Shabbat, and we're trying not to keep people too long. The topic is a very big one, but just to try to identify some of the issues and some of the implications. And before I begin, also just to thank Rabbi Asaf Bednarsh, who really a very special Talmud and a special Talmud Chacham. I feel a little badly that he had to be metapel with the with the details, including this magnificent source sheet that I'm going to try to use. When you give makoros, you don't really expect that the people are going to print them out and look at them. But I appreciate it. Thank you very much for the coordination. But I just want it on public record that, I would not have made you do this. Okay. So the topic I'd like to speak about briefly, some highlights at least, in terms of is the topic of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. Every Jew is a guarantor for every other Jew. This phrase, as we know, is one which conjures up certain associations. It's one of the probably best known chazals around. It comes trippingly off the tongue. Every bar beirav, people who have learned a little bit, people who haven't learned at all, people who are just associated generally with Klal Yisrael, are familiar with this concept, and as I say, it's something which very, very much strikes a chord. It resonates with people. It obviously reflects the sense of community and collectivity, every individual being connected with every other individual, the achdus and the achva, the concept of am in Klal Yisrael. And as such, it's not surprising that it resonates the way that it does. What's particularly fascinating about it, though, is that the phrase itself, at least in the Gemara and in Chazal in generally, is used in much more sparing fashion. We don't have so much time, so we're not going to do a comprehensive study of this. But given how popular this particular Maimer Chazal is, and the fact that it does resonate so much, the irony of the fact that Chazal themselves did not develop this phrase so extensively, is worth noting. As such, the fact that later, the Rishonim and then the Achronim, the way that the popular usage in Klal Yisrael, Puk Chazi Mayam Adavar, the way that it's developed is in a way even more significant. Because if the Gemara had developed it in a very specific way, so this would simply be, an application that we're all aware of. But in a sense, it's kind of the instinct, one could say, of Klal Yisrael, Lidore Doros, starting from Chazal, but going to the Rishonim and then the Achronim, etc., that have, where this resonance really took place, and invoking Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh expansively is something which reflects a certain orientation that Klal Yisrael Dori Doros apparently has had. We're not going to be able to so much to identify all of that. That we'd have to really take a step-by-step analysis methodologically. Where exactly does it appear in Chazal? How often does it appear in Chazal? What is the next stage? The Gonim, the Rishonim, the Achronim, different schools of the Achronim, etc. In Halacha and Agada, that's a topic which we could do, but we can't do that tonight given our time restrictions. Moreover, I want to present this more this year than as a lecture, since I know a lot of Talmidim are here, they're, I assume, interested in that kind of a thing. But that's really what could be done and should be done. But what I'd like to do tonight is just touch on the range, at least of the concept, as it appears, and speak about some of the ironies of how it originally is formulated, but especially to draw out two or three perspectives from some of the halachic contexts. Having said that, so let's take a step back for a moment. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh resonates so much with us because, it almost became a way of expressing and conveying the sense of responsibility, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, that we have for our fellow Jew, which sets us apart as a nation. Internally, meaning you relate to a member of Klal Yisrael differently than you relate to other people, just as you have a different relationship with a family member than you do with a neighbor, and a neighbor, somebody in the broader community. So it's perfectly normal that Jews relate to each other in a special way. But it means more than that. Generally speaking, our assumption is, and we can't know this to be true because we don't control this part of it, but vis-a-vis other cultures and the way that they relate to, you know, their, you know, fellow members of their body politic, that in theory can range as much as people, as a particular culture wants it to. But mostly our impression is that we're very unique in the level of responsibility that we feel and that we exercise, you know, for our neighbor. So Kol Yisrael Ra'im Zeh LaZeh isn't just a way of differentiating the way that we relate to each other as opposed to, you know, these concentric circles, as I like to call them, you know, of family and neighbors, and Kol Klal Yisrael as family and neighbors, and then the way that we look at, you know, other relationships with the non-Jewish world as well, even the positive parts of those relationships. It's also our way of identifying the halachic system, a yadus, as being singular in its demand for this sense of achba internally. Although again, you know, it's possible that there are some cultural exceptions, but mostly I think it's absolutely true. We look at Kol Yisrael Ra'im Zeh LaZeh as a way of managing the interaction between different components of our lives, of any person's life. Right? There's the way that I relate to my own interests, chayecha kodmin. There's a way that I relate to, you know, my neighbor, one-on-one kind of interaction. And then, of course, there is the way that we relate to a tzibor, to a collective. And then there's a way that we relate nationally to a nation, to one. In general, in the world of Torah, the idea that, you know, we live in these concentric circles and that our conduct and behavior you know, affects different areas, and that sometimes, often, these are mutually enhancing, but at other times it forces us into difficult decisions, is you know, is a commonplace. It's self-evident. So, for example, you know, there's a very famous comment of the Shalah. The Mabit says this as well in his Beis Elokim. You know, we speak about Taryag Mitzvos, 613 commandments. And the obligation, you know, to observe Taryag Mitzvos and to embrace Taryag Mitzvos. Chazal even, in some cases, compare the Taryag, you know, to Ramach, based on, you know, especially if you break it up in Mitzvah Seh and Mitzvah Slo Seh, say, Ramach Evarim Shasa Gidim, right? It's like the impression of a well-oiled, you know, human machine. You know, you have the limbs and you have the nerves and, you know, whatever it's supposed to actually correspond to. But then when you step back and you think about it, you know, there's no single individual Jew who is able to accomplish 613 mitzvahs for various reasons. There can be gender reasons, there are kahuna reasons, you know, there are just metzius reasons. Not everybody's in a, you know, aside from the things that are maybe lo hayah v'lo nivra, you know, and they're just drosh v'kabal schar, that's a problem in its own right. But the point is that if really we take seriously or semi-seriously the symbolism of Ramach Evarim and Shasagidim, the holistic body, etc., then if an individual can't accomplish Taryag Mitzvos, so obviously where seems to be a breakdown in the mechanism. So, it doesn't exactly formulate it that way, but what the Shalah says and what the Mabit say, each in a different context, to resolve that problem is that, you know, every member of Klal Yisrael is an individual, and every member of Klal Yisrael is also part of the collective. And to the extent that he is part of that, you know, he is connected to the Taryag Mitzvos. Not only the collective that exists, you know, Bizman Hazeh, but, you know, Esa Sheyeshno Po, Ve'esa Shereinenu. We have a long history, which means that we should be very responsible. It's a privilege to have a long history. And, you know, we consider ourselves, it's not just a history that, you know, is relegated to the past. It's a present history, if that isn't a contradiction. Meaning, we're all part of the Jewish people, you know, from the past to the present, spanning to the future. Which is why we should also be very responsible in the area of Kol Yisrael Ra'im Zeh LaZeh and the decisions that we make. And we should be Ro'as HaNolad, and we should be respectful of the past, and all of these things. And basically, that's how we're able to implement Taryag Mitzvos, in that sense. Eis Asher Yeshno Po Ve'eis Asher Einenu. Some of the Mefarshim explain that as well. How could you, you know, make a commitment How could Klal Yisrael make a commitment for the Devarim Shelo Bo'o La'olam, for all the people who were yet to be born? But this idea of a collective, being part of a nation, that being an indivisible whole and an important part, not just dead history, but a real part of people's lives, is something which basically means Klal Yisrael made this commitment, and every member of Klal Yisrael, you know, who comes into it, you know, in that sense, was there. It's a rational way, if you will, of explaining, you know, what seems to be a mystifying, if not a mystical, concept. The Parsha of Kriyat Shema, as we know, first two Parshios, Kriyat Shema and V'hayim Shema, overlap quite a bit. One is written B'lashon Yachid, and the other is written B'lashon Rabim, in the Torah, V'ashanan, Ekev, etc. I always like to explain that, you know, the famous difficult Sifrei in Parsha Se'ekev, Hatzivi Lach Tziyunim, you know, the idea, the one that Rashi quotes and Ramban quotes and all the Achronim had great difficulty with, certainly, you know, those of us who still live in Chutz La'aretz certainly have difficulty with it, but I think, you know, the honest people who live in Eretz Yisrael, you know, will have difficulty with it as well. Namely, the notion that, you know, mitzvos that are done outside of Eretz Yisrael are somehow a chinuch, you know, for the return. So as we know, that's fine and good for mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz and maybe even certain other mitzvos, but to apply this across the board to, you know, to tefillin and to tzitzis is extremely challenging and difficult, which is why all sorts of creative suggestions have been put forth to explain this phenomenon. It's not our topic right now. But I always thought that the fact that the Sifrei is commenting on the pasuk in Ekev, in the context of Vahayim Shemoa, is not a coincidence. Vahayim Shemoa, as Chazal make the point very clearly, as if we could have missed it, is written B'lashon Rabin. And it's the way of conveying that every individual, in every mitzvah that he does it as an individual. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, V'ahavta Eis Hashem Elokecha. But at the same time, he does it as a member of Klal Yisrael. And as a member of Klal Yisrael, you know, the Eretz Yisrael factor becomes magnified. Obviously, anything having to do with the Tzibor, right, the Eretz Yisrael dimension, you know, is one, you know, which is critical. It's the national headquarters of the Jewish people. And we find this in many other things. There's a prohibition of Baltosif. It appears twice in the Torah. And in Vetzchanan and Re'eh, one is B'lashon Rabim, one is B'lashon Yachid. Now, which one is B'lashon Rabim, which one is B'lashon Yachid? That's a little bit tricky to know. It's hard to know when we read, you know, the Psukim, whether, you know, when the Torah speaks to us B'lashon Rabim, it's addressing every individual, and when it speaks B'lashon Yachid, it's speaking to the collective community, or the opposite. When it speaks to B'lashon Yachid, it's addressing each individual, and when it speaks, you know, B'lashon Rabim, it's addressing. There's clear machloksim on this particular point among the Mefarshim. But when you have, you know, certain Isurim or certain things that appear, you know, both B'lashon Rabim and B'lashon Yachid, so, you know, we can debate which one is which, but it's covered. Basically, the Torah is saying to us, pay attention to the fact that this particular one is specifically being addressed on both levels. There's a tzibur aspect of this, and there's an individual aspect of this. Anocha Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, according to the same kind of a problem, is that addressed, you know, to the collective of Klal Yisrael, or is that addressed to every individual? Or sometimes the Torah uses ambiguous, again, there are Talmidim in the audience here, so, you know, they'll have heard me say this before, no matter what, you know, epoch, you know, they were, you know, in. And that is that the Torah uses language, ambiguous language, in my opinion, intentionally, you know, to convey a complex or multiple meanings. So, obviously, this idea that we live life at least in two spheres, and that the interaction between the two, mostly complementary, mostly mutually enhancing, is sometimes going to be challenging, is something which we're familiar with. On the one hand, we say v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, right? Which you know, is a huge ambition, again addressed by the Rishonim, talking about love and self love or self interest, right? It's very, very, very difficult, you know, to apply that, you know, to some other party, even if he's your brother. Even if Kol Yisrael is a Raven Zelazet. And the Ramban, as we know, struggles with this and tries to moderate to the meaning of the Pasuk. Others, you know, even more. The Rambam and others take it quite literally. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha is a very serious consideration. How does that balance with another principle? Chayecha kodmim l'chaye chabercha. Right? Both in the actual story of the Gemara Rabbi Akiva ben Petura, you know, the Kiton Shomayim, when one person alone can survive, and in many other contexts as well. You know, imena nili mili, you know, self-preservation and self-interest, you know, is a critical aspect. You know, it's good to be, you know, altruistic, but protecting one's interests, sometimes being insular is necessary. And at the same time, ukashani latzmi mani, meaning even for my own sake, never mind for altruism, it's not good for me if kishani la'atzmi. These are dialectics that we are very familiar with all the time. So Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh is like a perfect opportunity really to explore other aspects or expressions of this particular dialectic. Kol Yisrael, every member of the Kol Yisrael, is Arevim Zeh LaZeh. Even the word Arev, guarantor, right, is one which crystallizes, if you will, the issue of the problem. In Dinei Mamonos and Choshen Mishpat, an arev, a guarantor, is somebody who enables someone else to benefit, you know, financially. My resources are going to support your, financial needs. You don't have enough to, you know, back up a particular loan. I'm going to back up the loan for you. The halachic status of an arev is a huge debate in the halacha. Right? An arev is considered to be the makom halove, or maybe a second love, or the actual love, or he fuses with the love. In other words, the difference between me and the other, right, me and my neighbor, basically disappears in the context of arev. Or an arev is an external guarantor. The way that Arevus works is not that I'm legally in lieu of, or I'm the Lova, or the primary Lova, or another Lova, or I fuse with him and become, you know, the integrated Lova, but rather, you know, as the Gemara explains in the end of Bava Basra, Bahi Ana, basically as an external party, he's the Lova, I'm helping him, this is not about me, I'm not on the line, except that I've made a kind of an extraneous commitment. These two perspectives, I say, are debated. We're not going to study Arev right now, even though we're going to study a little bit of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. But it's important to understand linguistically what the significance of the term is. It's almost as if, right off the bat, we can imagine that Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh means that it's not my interest, I'm not doing it qua me, but, you know, I'm lending a helping hand to my friend as someone who is separate from me, or no. Basically, the idea is the empathy, if you will, the empathetic posture is the foundation of Arevut, because that's what an Arev really is. The Arev becomes basically his interest and the party who he's assisting merge, integrate into one. In which case, if I'm taking the expression seriously, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, when it's applied in other areas, also means that basically we're breaking down the boundaries between people, not that we are applying an extraordinary responsibility to someone else as someone else, acknowledging, you know, our different interests and our different status. So this is the question that I want to just pursue a little bit more today. I just want to chart a little bit some of the applications and register some of these impressions. And let me begin with just what we find in some of the Gemaras. In the Gemara itself, we find Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh used mostly, again, this is not intended to be comprehensive, and there's much more to say about it, but mostly in a negative way. Mostly when we talk about collective responsibility, not as individuals so much, but as a community, for other people's chatai. If other people sin, and they're part of the community, are we held liable and responsible, right, for their negative behavior? So the Gemara says here in Sanhedrin, I'm going to thank Rabbi Bednar for putting it together, on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, Gemara discusses, when, even within the family context, right? There is this kind of responsibility, one person for the other. Right? Banim bavos bavon avos lo v'ksiv poken avon avos al banim. Mar says hasam kishoksim ma'isa v'seim biyadei. Kitanya af avonos avosam tamimaku kishoksim asem avoseim ma'isa v'seim biyadei. At tamer kishoksim o ena elak shenoksim kishomer ish bechata o yimasu hare kishoksim ma'isa v'seim biyadei. So then the Gemara says below. V'ksiv v'kashlu ishbech bishbachiv ish bavonachiv melamed shekula marevim. Zebaz is one of the main makoros of the actual phrase, in the Gemara at least, of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zela Zeb. So the Gemara says, basically, that even if we're not in this kind of situation, the Koshlu Ish Bachiv means that if my neighbor is a Chote, is an Avarian, then I suffer because of him. Obviously breaking down the barriers, but on the negative level, in terms of responsibility for someone else's kin. So then the Gemara answers, Hasam shehoya biyadam limchos v'lomich. This is limited to a situation where you could have objected, given tochacha, you could have prevented it. Well, the Gemara doesn't say you could have prevented it, actually. It says you could have objected, and you were not mocha. That's an important distinction, as we'll see as well. The parallel Gemara to this is the Gemara in Shavuos, Daf Lamedtes, where the Gemara speaks about the requirement of iyum, that in the context of a shvua, you, I said some people learned shvuas with me here in the crowd, as I recall, there's a requirement of iyum, meaning you threaten the person, you warn him, right, you bring to his attention, let's say, the catastrophic consequences of a shvua, you know, which is not honest. So the Gemara says that, you know, one of the things that you tell him, try to find it here. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Omrim lo, sorry about the Shvus Adonim Afim Lashon Nemra, Omrim lo, you say to him, Hevi Odeya, you should know, Shekol Olam Kulo, Nizdazeya, B'shash Omra, Kodesh Baruch Hu, B'sinai, Lo Tisa, Shem HaShem, Lo Techa Lashat. The whole world trembled, beautiful Gemara, right, at the time when the Rabbanu Shalom said, Lo Tisa, Shem HaShem, Lo Techa Lashat. I mean, the idea of a Shvus, Shav, B'shem HaShem, terrible thing. Right, the Rabbanu Shalom is Chotamo Emes, and to use his name in to mislead people in the context of a formal oath in particular is particularly dastardly, terrible behavior. Cholav Erish of the Torah, the Gemara says, Nemra Behen Vinake. In addition, the Kan Nemra Loyinake, when it comes to this kind of a Shvua, we're particularly severe. The Cholav Erish of the Torah Nifraim Mimenu, the Kan Mimenu Mishpachto. Normally, if you do an Aveira, so you get punished. When it comes to this shvua, not only you, but it extends to, you should know, the consequences extend to your family as well. Say, oh, I'm willing to take the brunt of it. Right? Are you willing for your family members to suffer? Shanemar, alti tenet picha, lachtiat psaracha, im besara lekrovo. It's a very nice idea anyway. Right? Literally his body and his kurva the same. Shanemar ubi psarcha lo titale. So then the Gemara says, v'chala v'erish shavitar nifraim mimenu. The Kan, Mimenu, Mikol Olam Kulo. Doesn't stop it there. The whole world suffers from this Shavuot Shav. Shanemar, Allah Bekichesh. The Ema, Ad Avil Lekulo. The Gemara says also, Ketaitach, the Siv, and so on. Oh. So then the Gemara says, Kol Aver Shavitar Nifraim Mimenu, Mikan Mimenu, Mishpachto. The Kol Aver Shavitar Mimishpach Alo. The other Averos really are just limited to the Avarian and nothing beyond that. Then the Gemara says, "Tanya Omer Reb Shimon, Ibu Chata Mishpachto Machatas." What did they do? Why collective responsibility? So the Gemara says, "Lomar Lach Ein Lacham Mishpacha Sheish Bamoches Shein Kula Mochs." Okay, this is a topic in its own right. Right? You know, what is it that doesn't fall far from the tree? The what?
The
apple. Thank you. Okay, very good. Okay. It's not that I was thinking in Hebrew, I just forgot the... okay. So then the Gemara discusses back and forth this question of collective responsibility. And once again, the Gemara comes to, skipping a few lines down, the Gemara says, V'chola v'erisha v'tarim v'chola olam lo. This is after the parentheses. This is six lines before the end of this particular piece. V'chola v'erisha v'tarim v'chola olam lo. V'aksiv v'kosh l'ish v'achiv, ish v'avon achiv. V'lam v'chikol yisrael ha'reven zeh bazeh. Once again, the Gemara is invoking... Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh, as a foundation for collective responsibility beyond the family, and not just for Shavua Shav, but in general. The Gemara says, Hasam sheyesh b'yodam limchos v'lo micha. Okay. Once again, same Gemara. But once again, there's a limit. Question is, how limiting is the limit? The Rambam, interestingly enough, when he quotes Iyum, you know, lo sanake, and so on, lo yanake. So he quotes Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, which is striking, because if you read the Gemara, as we just did, the Gemara seems to be saying that the general rule of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh is limited to Hayu Limchos, or Hayu Limchos V'Lamichu. Right, the Rambam understood the Gemara that whenever there's collective responsibility, it's because of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. The only thing is that there are certain conditions which trigger collective responsibility that are different, that differ, depending on the circumstances, perhaps, depending on the Chomer HaAveira, or the type of Aveira, etc. But what then emerges is, according to the Rambam, you can have a Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh, even in a situation of Lomichu. What's important about this is as follows. There's a narrow way to read this Gemara, or limiting way to read this Gemara, and a much more expansive way to read the Gemara and to understand the concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh in one of its clearest expressions. The narrow way, and that doesn't mean it's wrong, is Hayolo Limchos V'lo Michu, meaning the idea of collective responsibility per se is unacceptable. Because I don't know if every man is an island, but certainly in Chataim, you know, what I do is my problem, and other people should not have to pay any price or be responsible for all of that. In that sense, Hayla Limchos V'lamicho should be understood as having had the opportunity to prevent. Right? Tochacha, and an effective tochacha at that. Namely, you, in some sense, now this too is a chiddush, and it's a way a chiddush of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, right? It's not trivial, even in its narrowest term. Because again, I'm not doing the action. Why should my ability to have prevented it, right, constitute a sufficient basis to be punished for it? That's still a huge leap, and one which bespeaks of a very substantive Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. However, at minimum, there is a cause and effect. Right? And as the fact that we consider the sufficient cause is the chiddush of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, but that there is cause and effect, that I am associated here not only with him as a person, but with the act, the unacceptable chet that he did, that's what's established here. So the leap is in the definition of cause. The idea that you need cause is a more limiting or a narrower view of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh. And you can then imagine that there would be all sorts of issues to explore. And what if he could have objected, but it wouldn't have made any difference, right? Does it matter if he would have been successful? What about, Kishem Shemitzvah Lomar, Davra Nishma, Kach Mitzvah Lolomar, Davra Shalom Nishma. Sometimes, tochacha is an art form, as the Gemara tells us in Erechin, and sometimes it's better to be silent. You'd have to figure out what the Gemara means here. There is another way to explain the Gemara, and that is the Gemara is not talking about effectiveness. The Gemara is not talking about a cause and effect relationship. What the Gemara is saying is that even every member of Kol Yisrael is connected with each other. You need more of a mitzarev in applying Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh than that. Meaning you have to be somehow connected with this person in this context for the arvus to kick in. And in that sense, at least you have to know what's going on, possibly. And hayolom limchos v'lo michu. Right, if you know what's going on, but there's no responsibility to be moche. So vis-a-vis this particular issue, it's not in a collective mode sufficiently. I'll explain what I mean by this a little bit more, if we have a chance, a little bit later on. The Rambam apparently understood it, at least in this direction, because the case of Lo Yinakeh is a different kind of an Isur, and therefore maybe the conditions of Tziruf, we'll call it, I mean the things that link us all together such that we can then impose this model of extraordinary responsibility, that kicks in Right? When we have the kind of misgeret, we have the kind of framework, we have the linkage, you know, that's in place. And apparently the Rambam understood that when it comes to Shavuos Shav, even without Toyol Olim Chos V'Lom Bichu, that's fine. Had the idea been you are a junior partner in this particular chet because you could have been a good influence, you could have prevented it, then the capacity to leap from Toyol Olim Chos V'Lom Bichu generally to a situation of Shavuos Shav where there's no cause whatsoever would have been more difficult. And I think there are other echoes of this idea as well. So already in exploring the Gemara's usage here, we already have an impression that there are two perspectives. Each one is mechudash. One is more mechudash than the other. In one, we're basically expanding the concept of personal responsibility, meaning the arev is actually involved somewhat, even though that's mechudash, and we consider that involved. Whereas in the other case, we're acknowledging that there's no involvement, and nonetheless, we're applying, you know, collective impact notwithstanding. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mem Gimel Amud Beis, Hanistaros L'Hashem Elokeinu Aniglos Lanu L'Vaneinu Ad Olam. So the Gemara says, Loma Nakud Alanu L'Vaneinu, from the Sefer Torah, right, Val Ayin Sheba'ad, Melamed Shelo Ona Shal Hanistaros Ad She'ovur Yisolas Hayardein, Divra Yehuda. And the Gemara says, V'chiyonash, right, Omele Rav Nechem, V'chiyonash Hanistaros Li'olam. I mean, people do things. I was once in a synagogue. The rabbi is here, and they made a very nice drush on the star of Hashem Elokeinu, right in the time of 9/11, as I recall. So the star of Hashem Elokeinu, meaning what people think in their hearts that they can't really identify, that other people can't identify, you know, we're all responsible for. Hello, Kfar Nemar. That's a question. Chiyona shal nistaros liolam. Halo kvar nemar ad olam. Ela kashem shalo onash al nistaros. Kach lo onash. Excuse me. Al onshin shabegalui. Ad shavru. Excuse me. Yisrael as hayardin. Then the Gemara says, what about Achan? We're not going to go into the whole thing. There's a big discussion how to read the maskana of this Gemara. What is the maskana of this Gemara? Are we ever responsible, even after Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, for Nistaros, even if we're only responsible for Haniglos, right? What does it mean that it's Ad She'avru Yisrael as Hayardin? How could we ever be responsible for Nistaros? That's one question. And why this imposition of a limit, Ad She'avru Yisrael as Hayardin? So just two things very quickly, because again, we don't have time to be thorough. We're just going to hit some basic ideas. There are two ways to be responsible for Nistaros. Okay. One is, and again, they parallel the two perspectives that I mentioned before. One is by saying that we do have a tremendous, we are extending, you know, in a very significant manner, the concept of cause and effect. And that's a chiddush. According to Rashi, this on the Staros Hashem Elokeinu, based on the Gemara in Sota, Daf Lamed Zayin, base is Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh Bazeh. I should mention that. Rashi says the sugya is about Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh Bazeh. So one way to explain is, environment is important too. You know, what for some people is on the Staros percolates, you know, and it's not always true, but it's very often true, percolates and develops in a certain environment. And all of us are responsible for the environment, you know, that we promote, that we cultivate, and which other people end up having the staros. Mashal Amadavar Dome. Oh, thank you very much. I wasn't, you know, lobbying, but thank you. So the Yodeinu Lo Shafchu Es Adam Hazeh. You know, the concept of Egla Rufa, which is very well known to us. You have a corpse, an anonymous corpse that is found, and we can't identify the murderer. And a whole procedure of Egla Rufa, the Bezdin says, Yodeinu Lo Shafchu Es Adam Hazeh, and the Gemara asks in Sota, the Chiyol Al Adas, do people really think that, that these sages, these paradigms, you know, that they really are responsible for this murder? And the Gemara explains, you know, what they mean is We weren't responsible for him, not being able to find a place of lodging and a warm cooked meal. In other words, we were not responsible in an indirect way, for what happened. But I think, the larger idea is not just specifically we didn't do X, we didn't do Y, we didn't do A, we didn't do B, which may have contributed to this event. What the Torah is telling us is that the Zakenim of Anir are responsible for the climate of hospitality, for the whole culture of that city. And in a sense, if there's somebody to pin the blame on, I don't mean it in a pragmatic way. When we know what happened, so we look at things in a micro way. We look at very specifically. This is what happened. This is the fault. We don't have to blame the tzibur and everybody, gratuitously. But when we can't identify, then we have no other choice but to start to looking from a collective responsibility point of view. And the sense of, the city, the Zikne Ha'ir, the Bezdin, that they set the tone, that becomes an important idea. In that sense, Hanistaros L'Hashem Elokeinu, but once you enter into Eretz Yisrael, and the assumption is that you're going to be living a more communal kind of a life, and a more collective life, so the responsibility of every member of the Tzibur becomes magnified. In the sense that that too is considered sufficient cause and effect. It's still a huge chiddush that Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh Bazeh can apply to Nistaros, even if we assume that Nistaros is a kind of a causal, has a causal element. The other possibility, of course, parallel to what we saw before, is there's no causal element whatsoever. But Nistaros, Hashem Elokeinu, Klal Yisrael is a tzibur. Every member of the nation is the responsibility of every other member. We'll see in a moment, b'toras yachid, b'toras tzibur. We'll develop that in a minute. But indeed, even the staros, never mind niglos, possibly become our responsibility in the collective sense. What, just like I'm obligated to do things for him, the negative things that he does impact adversely on the collective record and possibly even my individual record. The question is, what is the Eretz Yisrael factor here? I already alluded to it. So some Rishonim just say, because once Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, Har Grizim and Har Ebal, and they accepted this sense of responsibility, that's when everything changed. And that is rooted in the Gemara in, I don't know if we gave it here, I guess we didn't, the Gemara in Masechet Sota. The Gemara in Sota, Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, has a very fascinating discussion about what happened in Har Grizim and Har Ebal and how many Brisim there were, and 600,000 multiplied by, I can't even do the math. Which doesn't prove very much, but it's a fascinating Gemara because obviously the numbers aren't important, but symbolically, if you take apart that Gemara, you might get greater insight into the question, are we talking about each individual's responsibility for each other individual as an individual? Are we talking about each individual being responsible for the collective Klal Yisrael? Are we talking about Klal Yisrael being responsible for Klal Yisrael, or Klal Yisrael being responsible for every individual? You can see it might get a little bit complicated. But one perspective is that this is when the bris took place, and that's when Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh Lazeh kicks in. That's why Rashi says the Sugya in Sanhedrin is about Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh Lazeh. And as such, that's when it became binding. This higher standard, which is quite incredible, became binding at that time. I prefer to think that there's a different perspective here, not necessarily to the exclusion of Har Grizim and Har Eval, but why it is that Har Grizim and Har Eval only happened at the moment that Klal Yisrael passed into Eretz Yisrael. And that goes to the point that I alluded to a second ago and that I spoke a little bit more about 15 minutes ago, and that is the role of Eretz Yisrael in the life of the Tzibur. Possibly what the Gemara is telling us here is that as individuals, there is always a certain measure of responsibility and level of responsibility, but Klal Yisrael Areven Zeh Bazeh, or Zeh La Zeh, which also matters, In the bigger scheme, in its more, let's say, ambitious spiritual application, is something which only makes sense in the context of life in Eretz Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael and became a nation with a certain collectivity, that all implies the Gemara in Horios, being the foundation of this, and of Gimel and Aleph, something that the Rav used to speak about a lot, and Mori Rabbi, Rav Lichtenstein Shlita, also spoke a lot about it. The Gemara in Horia says, everybody probably knows, explains that when it comes to the requirement of a korban parhalim davar shel tzibur, which means Bez Nagadol made a mistake. The result is that, let's say, Klal Yisrael made a mistake. They pass in a certain way, Bez Nagadol improperly, incorrectly. Klal Yisrael makes a mistake, one which incurs a korban chatas. So the rule is, if the majority of Klal Yisrael were misled, so then the rule is they bring a single, whole Klal Yisrael brings a single korban. It's called the parhalim davar shel tzibur. On the other hand, if the minority of Klal Yisrael were chote, then every individual who is chote brings his own individual korban. So the Gemara says, how do we measure majority? How do we measure minority? So the Gemara says, we measure it by the people in Eretz Yisrael. Because Kahal Yisrael Shev Eretz Yisrael Ikri Kahal, Kahal Yisrael Shev Chutz Laretz Lo Ikri Kahal. So I think the idea is that the concept of community, we have communities in Chutz Laretz. Again, I'm certainly far from being one of the Sholalei HaGolah. I think it's important to appreciate what we've gained as a nation, from all the different constellations. But the concept of community in its fullness is obviously reserved for Eretz Yisrael. Kal Shev Eretz Yisrael Ikri Kal, Kal Shev Chutz Laretz Lo Ikri Kal. And as a result, it should also be noted that once Kal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, the concept of Kal Yisrael or Eim Zeh L'Zeh applies the Kol Mokom Shehein, just as the concept of Parhalim Davar Shel Tzibur. In other words, when you establish that there's either that there's a majority or a minority in Eretz Yisrael who are chote, the impact is equal to Eretz Yisrael and to Chutz Laretz. Meaning, Eretz Yisrael defines the community, but the impact extends to the entire community of Klal Yisrael as well. Maybe what the Gemara means is, whether it's through Har Grizim and Har Eval or just independently, that once Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, this notion of a collective, this expansion of Klal Yisrael or Eben Zelazeh, whether it's in the Nistaro sense, on a causal effect, that Chiddush, or the idea that you don't even need that, it's Nistaros, but it's still there, invisibly, without any responsibility. Which one of these is a bigger Chiddush, I don't know, but that becomes what emerges. Okay. So far we've spoken a little bit about chataim and the collective responsibility. It sounds very negative. So far it is quite negative. The Gemara uses Kol Yisrael Arein Zelazeh pretty negatively. We use it very positively. We use it when it comes to mitzvos. We all associate it with Kol Yisrael Arein Zelazeh. We associate it with Yotzei Motzi. If you want to be Yotzei Kiddush, from somebody who already made it, Kol Yisrael Arein Zelazeh. But what's fascinating is that the Gemara itself never uses Kol Yisrael Arein Zelazeh in that context. But it's also fascinating, and that's the point I was trying to make earlier, I think that the Mefarshim here, the fact that it's not in the Gemara in a way is very inspiring. They just assumed that this is the foundation. We have here the Sugya in Rosh Hashanah, Pani Ava Bereidra of Zera, Kol HaBrachos Kulan, Afal Pi, Sheyotza, Motzi, Chutzei Birchas Alechem and Birchas Hayayin, Shem Lo Yotza, Motzi, Im Yotza, Eina Motzi. Again, you can be the vehicle for other people fulfilling their halachic responsibility or obligation, right, if you haven't yet fulfilled yours. That's the principle of Shomea Ka'ona, which has some limits, but is also a very effective mechanism. However, if you're eating food or something of that sort, some sort of personal bracha, right, and you already fulfilled your obligation, you can't make a bracha again. It would be a bracha lebatala. The other individual has to make for himself. Unless we're talking about birchas hamitzvah. Talking about birchas hamitzvah, the rule is yatza motzi. Even if I already did the mitzvah, right, I can make the bracha on your behalf as well. Then the Gemara has a fascinating discussion by Rabba. Birchas alechem shamatzah, birchas hayayin shel kiddush hayom, mahu, kimin dechova mapik, odilma bracha lav chova hi. The Gemara wants to know, when you make kiddush and you make a bar prayer gafen, when you say hamotzi and you say hamotzi lechem in haaretz, those are birchas hananin, they're personal brachos which you would make during the week or anytime you're hungry. So on the one hand, they're not birchas hamitzvah, but they're the accompaniment for, right, they're in the framework of a birchas hamitzvah. Here you're doing it in that context. Do they have the din of yatza motzi or not? That itself is an interesting safek. Again, I'm running a little late, so I don't know if I'll be able to speak much about that, but that's, we paskin, that as everybody knows from Kiddush and so on, that we do apply yatza motzi in that expanded way. The question is how to assess the safek of the Gemara, Is the Gemara really asking whether or not this remains fully a Birchas Hanen and a personal bracha, albeit one that we need, but we don't care about the Chepsa Shel Bracha, we care about the Chovas HaGavra? Why? The fact is that he has to say this, and therefore there's a tziruf, there's a connection between the parties, because he has a personal obligation. Or maybe the question is whether this doesn't become, in its framework and in its context, just an extension of the Birchas HaMitzvah. That really, for Yatzah Motzi, you need a Chepsa Shel Birchas Chova, but Birchas Hanenin works for that. Or, can you have, getting back to the first point, can you have a personal bracha which is still conveyed by means of Yatzah Motzi? Okay. Rashi, Alatar, says, Apal Pishi Yatzah Motzi, Shaharei Kol Yisrael L'Arevim Zelazet L'Mitzvos. And that's a Chiddush of Rashi. But earlier than Rashi, this is already stated by the Shiltos. So I give the Shiltos, or? Yeah, it's good that I didn't, because, even though it's an amazing formulation, but it's hard to, it's a big piece. So the Shiltos in Shilta Nundalin, basically all, which is much earlier than Rashi, also apparently had this Masorah, that Yatzah Motzi is based on the principle of Koyis Olarim Zelazet. So what appears in most Gemaras in a very negative fashion, that was like an amazing inspiration, right? Other people, we're all one people, one brotherhood, when it comes to mitzvos. Oh. Except that the Shiltos goes even a giant step further. Number one, the Shiltos has something that we don't have in our Gemara. Shiltos says there's a suffix in the Gemara whether or not we say Yatzah Motzi. On the one hand, you know, why should you apply Kol Yisrael or Eben Zel? It's a personal mitzvah. On the other hand, all members of Kol Yisrael are obligated. This is a suffix that doesn't appear in our Gemara, that appears in the Shiltos. We sometimes have things like that. I don't know whether that's because he had a different girsa or because he thinks it's there's room for a suffix, whatever it is. The halacha, he agrees at Yatzah Motzi, and his formulation, which is quite famous, is, he says, listen, the reason that you're Yatzah Motzi is because you haven't fulfilled your obligation, as long as your neighbor hasn't fulfilled his. Which is shocking, but very inspiring. Meaning, even on an individual level, but possibly because every individual obligation, right, also has a collective aspect to it, but still, the formulation here is, you think you're Yatzah, there's an illusion of Yatzah, but really lo Yatzah, and therefore you can be Motzi when it comes to Birchas HaMitzvah. And that's very fascinating. The Netziv tries to suggest that he doesn't exactly mean this, but again, the details maybe for another time. The Netziv also notes in his commentary on the Shiltos that there are many Achronim who thought that Yatzah Motzi at best was a Din Drabanan, including people like Tzuriyeva and Shagsari, in other words, who had that position. After all, they said it's just impossible. How could one person fulfill someone else's, or help to fulfill someone else's mitzvahs? The Netziv himself says that, in his opinion, you know, there seems to be some evidence for this in the Bahag. He says it with regard to Birchas HaMazon. However, says the Netziv, in my opinion, Birchas HaMazon might be different. It might be different because of the principle stated in the Yerushalmi, which is, when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, we don't apply the rule of Shamea Ka'oneh, all things being equal. There are three exceptions. Yerushalmi says, well, we don't say Shamea Ka'oneh. One is Kriyat Shema, the other is Tefillah, and the other is Birchas HaMazon. And basically the idea is, as Yerushalmi explains it, Misha Achal U'Yavarech, at least with regard to Birchas HaMazon. What does he mean by Misha Achal U'Yavarech? Is that just a statement of the fact, or is that an explanation? Well, it's an explanation. I mean, it's like an exclamation point there, which makes it an explanation. What does it mean? It means there are certain mitzvos that are inherently very personal. And that, I think, is an important mafteach. The Netziv doesn't develop it so much, but he just says, oh, that's why, when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, Yatzah Motzi doesn't really work. For the same reason that Shamei Ka'oneh shouldn't work. But I think the yesod is as follows. When we say Yatzah Motzi on the positive, just as in the negative, there are different ways to express it. One is, like the Shiltos, which is very radical but very inspiring, and that is, you haven't fulfilled your obligation if he hasn't fulfilled his obligation. Almost, again, a merging of the arevus of, we're all one, I don't know, happy, but we're all one loaf. Okay? Now, in a way, the irony is that there's greater altruism to get there, there's imposed altruism to get there, right? I haven't fulfilled my obligation, so I'm doing it for myself. But of course, you know, that kind of, the result is, I'm doing it for myself, it's selfish, but that kind of selfishness is built on, right, huge altruism. The way I identify with my neighbor and his incomplete mitzvah is, you know, it's my loss. So there's a bigger chiddush to get there, to provide the mechanism, if you will. Once you have that, I'm not doing it for him. Who am I doing it for myself? Right? The fact that it's considered for myself is based on this principle of the identity, not just empathy, the identity of our interests and our concerns, the interlinking of our faiths. That's an amazing thing. The Ritva, on the other hand, if you look at the... Do we have the Ritva?
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Excellent. Ritva says, Tony Avabar Bredra Bzera, Kobrits Amitzah of Bishayatza Motzi, Shah Bishamitzah Mutolas of Kalechad. Ritva really addresses this question. Every individual has an obligation. Hare Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazer. Okay. Quoting Rashi, Shiltos. The Kulam Keguf Echad, right? Everyone is like one, you know, body. So when I mentioned this melitza before as a point of reference, I'm in good company of the Ritva. And so on. So basically, the Ritva has a formulation here of kulam keguf echad. In other words, one way to look at Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Lazeh is we have a mutual identity, and therefore I'm doing it for myself. The other perspective is we're different people, but Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Lazeh expands my capacity. I don't have to worry about Bracha Levatala. It's in a good cause. Your interests are sufficient justification for me. Does that mean we're supposed to stop? Oh, okay. They're telling the right person to... Oh, okay. Yeah, is that lift related, or we cancel them? We cancel them.
No, it's
double up.
Ignore it.
What?
The lift is canceled.
Oh, okay, good. So I'm going to the timing. So, the third perspective is that we relate to this problem not on a selfish level, or a self-interested level is a better way to say it, and not on an altruistic towards my neighbor level, but we look at it on a tzibur level. In other words, when I do this mitzvah now, it's not just me, it's not just him, it's the maximizing of this mitzvah for the sake of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael Arim Zelazeh, right, is, it's a mitzvah tzibur, or it's a tzibur perspective in the performance of individual mitzvahs. So, for example, when the Netziv makes a suggestion that maybe things like Birchas Hamazon are not subject to Yatzah Motzi, because Amisha Achal Hu Yivarech, right, well, that's the other shoe dropping. In other words, what we might say is, not all mitzvahs are equal, just as not all circumstances of chet are equal. Sometimes, there, in one extreme, there are mitzvahs that are highly personal, highly individualistic, where there can't be an identity of interest. It's very personal. I experience this food or this particular mitzvah in a way that other people don't. And therefore, there can't be this integration. That is going to limit, or at least change, how we apply Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Lazeh. On the other hand, where we deal with mitzvos, which are fundamentally tzibur, you're obligated in this mitzvah not as an individual, not on a personal individual level, but as a member of the community of Klal Yisrael, or especially where there's a community component to the mitzvah, so then we're going to get a Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Lazeh Shekulam Guf Echad Heim. This issue has tremendous repercussions halacha l'maisa, but more importantly conceptually, in actually applying the dinim of Yatzah Motzi. When do we say Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Lazeh Yatzah Motzi in mitzvos, and when don't we? I'm not going to go into details. I'll just tell you what I mean by the question. Do you need a bar chiyuva? And how do you define a bar? Yo, do you want to ask a question? But quickly, yeah.
You said there are two ways of understanding the Ritva?
Well, the Ritva could either be saying the identity of interests, you know, idea. I personally think that what he's saying is that all of Klal Yisrael is guf echad. That's my instinct, but I can't prove that. So I'm trying to be fair. Do you need a bar chiyuva? And how you define a bar chiyuva? Partially, this is a debate that flows from a discussion of the status of women in Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh LaZeh. And the source for it, again, I'm not going to go into whole detail because it's very important, but we just don't have time for it right now, is the Gemara in Brachos, Afchaf Amid Beis, which is here. I won't read it right now. The Gemara discusses whether or not women are obligated in Birchas HaMazon, Daraisa, or not. Normally women are Pturos and Mitzvah Seishas Ban Grama. Right, what about Birchas HaMazon? And the Gemara has this discussion. And the Gemara seems to say that if women are obligated in Birchas HaMazon, they can be Motzios men. Right? And if not, then they cannot. So the Rosh in Brachos raises the question, and if they're not, they cannot, why not? Why not just apply the principle of Yatzeh Motzi? What's the difference between somebody who already fulfilled his obligation and someone who isn't obligated but is a fine and upstanding member of Klal Yisrael? So the Rosh came up with a very radical idea, which got picked up by a lot of the Achronim, and that is, I think we have it in the bottom here. He says, Yesh Lomar, this is like five lines from the bottom, Dilo Dami. The Ish, Afagav Shalom Ochal Klum, Dinu Sheyiftar Sacherim, Dekal Yisrael Areivim Zeh Bazeh, Elamidrabanan Amru Shalom Yivarchu Birchas Anen in Belohana, Lefika Keshachu Kesayis Hafabishen in the Sky, Velamidrabanan Motzi Acherim Shalachu Kedesviya. She'arevu bavuram, v'alavu la'atzilan min ha'avam. Is a fascinating formulation. Arevu la'ubavuram, v'alavu la'atzilan. Part of being an arev is your obligation to save someone from avon. Gets this another minute. V'liftar osan min ha'mitzvos, aval isha eina b'chalal ha'arvus, l'kach eina motziya elamisha chiyu ha'midraba. Big kiddush, which also has some implications for kiddush. Women are obligated to kiddush, daraisa. We know that. That's the same Gemara in Brachos Tavchaf on the base. Zachor v'shamar b'dibur echad. But the question is, even though there's an absolute obligation, does Yatzeh Motzi apply to women? Right? And does it mean that women are not the beneficiaries of the arev, of a man? Or does it just mean that they can't or don't have their own arev? And what about women to women? In other words, when women are obligated equally with men, do they have the din of arevus or not? According to Moshe Shorum, the answer is probably yes. According to the Rush, it's a question. This is a debate between the poskim, the Nor Yehuda and Agul Barvava, and a lot of the Achronim. Like, understood the Rush very, very technically, that women don't have this din of Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh LaZeh, which is shocking. Rabbi Kivager in a tshuva disagrees. Kivager says, what the Gemara meant here was very simple, according to the Rush. There's no principle that women are not the Chalal Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh LaZeh. The principle is that in order to apply Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh LaZeh, you have to have an equal foundation. There has to be tziruf. You have to be a bar chiyuba. So what the Gemara says is, if women are obligated in Birchas HaMazon Daraisa, then they can be motzi men, and they could be motzi men, even in the case of Yatzeh Motzi, perhaps. Because Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh LaZeh. But if women are not obligated, then they can't operate on the basis of Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh LaZeh, just like men could not operate Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh LaZeh in a mitzvah that they weren't obligated in. Therefore, says Rabbi Kivager, when it comes to Kiddush, where women are equally obligated, there's no problem. But, admittedly, the Nor Yehuda and some of the other Achronim do not understand it this way. So what emerges is two interesting things. First of all, what does the Rush have in mind when he says that women are excluded from Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh LaZeh? So on an individual level, it's very difficult to explain this. If you think that Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh LaZeh in a way invokes the status of the Tzibor, but not being a member of the Tzibor, but let's say operating on behalf of the Tzibor, being the Shliach of the Tzibor, so then there is a foundation, a better foundation, to understand the Rush, according to the Achronim who think that that's what the Rush is saying. According to Rabbi Kivager, what emerges is a different requirement, and that is you be a bar chiyuva in that particular mitzvah. So what happens, for example, we're getting closer to the real Purim, what happens, when a ben krach wants to be motzi a ben ir, or a ben kfar, ben krach and ben ir, there are all sorts of permutations, and we're not going to go into the details. Somebody who's largely in the mitzvah, but he doesn't have a present obligation. So from a shilto's point of view, for example, that the reason you say Yatzeh Motzi, I haven't fulfilled my obligation yet because you haven't fulfilled yours, that's fine and good for somebody who befoal has a chiyuv. Right? But for somebody who doesn't, even if he's in the parsha, never mind if he's not in the parsha, right? It's not going to help it. But if you understand Kol Yisrael Areinu Zeh LaZeh means I'm obligated to you as you, nothing to do with me. It's my obligation qua the other person. Or this is all about a tzibur perspective. So then it's possible, then we have to figure out, you know, what it means. If somebody's not a bar chiyuv at all, maybe vis-a-vis this particular mitzvah, it's like the michu velo michu of before. They're just not connected enough to make this link or to impose this link or to apply this link in the case of a mitzvah in this particular case. But we would be much more relaxed, much more expansive in defining what a bar chiyuv is, and that, again, has to be pursued in another context. Let me move just to the last, to one last point very quickly, because it's a very important one. I'm sorry, you know, we don't have enough capacity for more. And that is on the question of Hatzalah. The Rush has a wonderful comment where he says, the idea of Kol Yisrael Areinu Zeh LaZeh is Lahatzvil, Chavero, Michet, and so on. It doesn't say that in the Gemara anywhere. All it says in the Gemara is that Ish, you know, B'Kishalon Achim, that we're punished for collective chet. It doesn't say anywhere that you have a chiyuv lahatzil es chaveiro. But this issue comes up especially when you have the, you know, full dialectic in force. I mentioned before, on the one hand, chayach hakodmon. Everybody has the right self-preservation spiritually. Certainly, spiritually is more important than physically. Chayach hakodmon is certainly an important concept. It may not neely meely. On the other hand, we're all members of a tzibur, and even as individuals, we have responsibilities to each other, and we've been exploring whether we even obliterate those lines and to what extent we do, and there's just much more to discuss about it. What happens in a situation of chatei kadesha tzaka chavercha? Let's say you can do it a little aveira, relatively speaking, in order to save someone else from a bigger aveira. Should you put yourself out there and sacrifice, right, in order to save him from something worse? That is a real test. Now, the Rishonim don't use the phrase Kol Yisrael Areinu Zeh LaZeh. Certainly, the Rush's expression of, you know, Lahatzil es Chaveiro is applicable here. It doesn't matter to me so much whether the phrase is being used, although I think there's some importance in it. But more important are the shitas that emerge, and I just want to spend a couple of more minutes just identifying some of the approaches. The nuances here are very important as well. There are two major Gemaras that deal with this problem. I'll try to go quickly. One is the Gemara in Shabbos, Abdalid Amud Aleph. The Gemara says here that Boya Bibi Barabaya Hidbik Pas Betanur. This is what are we up to in the what page? We have the Shuvas Rabbi Kveger here, which you'll look at in your if you have the opportunity. And the next one is Shabbos, Dalid Amud Aleph. Kufa Boy Rabbi Bibi Barabaya Hidbik Pas Betanur Hitir Lo Ladosa Kodim Shiyavu Ledechata Salam Lo Hitir. Person put food on the oven, you know, on Shabbos, and if he doesn't take it off soon, it's going to cook. Until it cooks, he hasn't violated the full Isser. That's not important for us now. So the Gemara says, he did this intentionally. So the Gemara says, what happened here was as follows. Again, the rest of the details are not important for now. This person put something on the oven, and the question is, he doesn't know, you know, or he forgot, or whatever it is, and the question is whether someone else should intervene and take it off before it burns, before it's in his nisbachel, to save him from a malach on Shabbos. But that person would have to incur a more minor violation of Radiyah Sapas. You're not allowed to scrape the stuff off the oven. What exactly it is not for now, although it's important. Should he do a minor violation to save you from major violation? So Gemara says, Maskel Rosh Sheshes, V'chiyom L'Adam Chatei Kadei She'Yizaka Chavercho. We tell somebody else to do a sin to save his neighbor. Right? Why not? Kol Yisrael Areinu Zeh LaZeh. Right? So there's another Gemara. The Gemara in Eruvin, which says, skip one, this Tosis we'll get out in a second. Rabbi Erwin says, "B'mai kamiflegi," right? Rebbe Savar Nichale Lechaver Delavid Hu Yisur Kalila V'Lelavid Amar Etz Yisur Rab. You have a certain case where somebody gave one. Talmud Chacham gave an Amar Etz a tvua produce, And he didn't tithe it. It wasn't mafresh terumos u'maaseros. And the only way now, the question is whether he should do a less than ideal hafrashas terumos u'maaseros min ha-mukaf, when the item isn't in front of him. You're not really supposed to do it that way. It's a drabanan kind of a violation. Should you do this because we're worried that the other fellow will eat the tevel? So the Gemara says, yes, you should. Right, nicha le'lachaver, a Talmud Chacham is be happy to take one for the team here. Le'avad iser klila, to do a minor iser, but lo le'avad amar etz iser rabba. Rav Shimon Gamliel savar nicha le'lachaver le'avad amar etz iser rabba. V'yu afilu iser klila lo le'avad. Not true, right? He let him violate even more severely. Why should I get my hands dirty from an iser point of view? Okay, we paskin here like Rebbe and not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So the Bali Tosis all ask, well, there's a stira between these two Gemaras, and then they bring in the rest of Shas, you know, as well, Kedarkam. Meaning, when am I supposed to fall on my spiritual sword for my neighbor? You can call it whatever you want. It's our topic. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. So, again, what emerges, we'll leave the material inside for you to read another time for homework or whatever it is, but what emerges is the following. Bali Tosis have different views, and so do the other Rishonim. I just want to identify the perspectives quickly because the range helps us, you know, with what we've seen so far. There are those who take a very insular kind of view. There's a view in Bali Tosis, which is that we never ask someone to sacrifice spiritually for someone else, with one exception, and that's the Gemara Eruvin. Because the Gemara Eruvin, it a little bit was the Chaver's fault. When he gave this tevua over, he should have been more careful to be mafresh to begin. In a way, he was machshil. It's his. If something happens, it's really, partially at least, his responsibility. So when he is responsible for his neighbor's plight, he should also violate the lesser in order to salvage the more major offense. That's a very reasonable distinction. Within that, there's a debate among the Rishonim how to understand. Some understand it that, well, it's sometimes I sacrifice for my friend, you know, especially if I'm responsible. That's a chayecha kodmin, but if you're the one who put him here, that's an exception. Even that's a chiddush. That's a yiskol yisrael reim zelazim. There are rishonim like the Meiri and the Tosarash, others who go further. They say, really, this may look like kol yisrael, well, they don't say the words, this may look like you're sacrificing for your neighbor, but in a way, you're saving yourself. Because you are associated, if not with this Ma'is Aveira, with this Chafsa Shel Aveira. And as such, it's self-salvation, not the salvation of others. But in a way, this is perfectly parallel to the Shiltos, because the idea that he's going to do an Aveira, but because, you know, I should have been more careful, you know, that our interests merge, ad kedekach, I mean, the actual Aveira, the Onesh, doesn't go to me, it goes to him. In a way, here the Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh is just expanding the identity of our merged interests. Except that it's much more circumscribed because I'm not saying that in general there's, you know, an obliteration of boundaries between us. What I'm saying is, in a situation where I have a hand in what's happening, in that situation, our interests, our identities merge. But it's still an important chiddush. That's one perspective, and that's a perspective that some of the Bali Tosis took, you know, to the bank. Some of them basically said, that is the rule. There's an exception, right, when you're responsible. Otherwise, chayecha kodmim when it comes to spiritual matters. And the Rajba, in a very famous tshuva, really paskin this way. You should know it's a, you know, it's a discussion and a theoretical discussion in Bali Tosis that can have huge impact. The Rajba was asked a question. This is in Chelek Zion Simin Reisha Samach Zion. What happens if, you know, somebody is abducting a Jew, you know, bringing them to Shmad, and you have to violate Tchum Shabbos, you know, in order to try to prevent this from happening. Okay, so the good news is that the Shulchan Aruch, very, very unequivocally, they still say it's Shulchan Aruch, all the poskim say that you should be Mechal Shabbos in order to prevent this. The fascinating thing is that the Rajba, who was asked this question, was very equivocal about it. He kept saying, I'm not sure what to do, the Davar Tzarech Talmud, but he himself concluded, based on the view of the Bali Tosis, Chayecha Kodmin. You have no excuse to violate. He also assumes that it isn't spiritual pikuach nefesh. Maybe that's what he's nifak fake about. But the Rashba says, there are limits in Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh, even in such a pragmatic case. The other posts can disagree. And one of the reasons that they disagree, some of them think that Shmad is spiritual Pikuach Nefesh, which certainly is a very compelling argument. Everybody poskens that way. But the other reason is because they say there are other views in Baalei Tosfos. The other view in Baalei Tosfos, the other extreme view, is that the Baalei Tosfos say, the exception is the Gemara in Shabbos, not the exception of the Gemara in Eruv. In Gemara in Shabbos, this person put food on the oven out of negligence. He was a posheya. He brought his difficulty upon himself. It's exactly the opposite of the case in Eruv. When you're responsible because of your carelessness, I have to bail you out, right? I have to throw, good spiritual capital after bad spiritual capital for you. In other words, in the case of Pshia, there are limits to Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. There have to be. But otherwise, Chatei Kedei Shetezaka Chavercha is an absolute prerogative, an imperative. Indeed, even if the Shmad case isn't spiritual Pikuach Nefesh, just in terms of Chatei, they would be justified. And that is the view of the actual view of the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shinvav. The particular views are very fascinating, but for another time. There are two middle views that I wanted to mention, or three, very quickly as we conclude, because they, again, highlight our range and different aspects of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh, which are not mutually contradictory at all. There's an interesting view of the Ritva. The Ritva, both in Shabbos and in Erevin, says this is a matter of personal choice. And that's a fascinating thing, because the Halacha is a very normative religion. And when it comes to matters of, a clash, a conflict, an asei and a los asei, a mitzvah above aveira, usually we have very specific rules and guidelines. The Ritva in two places says, this is a judgment call. If the Beis Din is not going to say to you, you must fall on your spiritual sword to save your neighbor. You have rights to, chayecha kol. However, if you feel you want to, if you feel that you should, you have that right. Which is another way of saying that there's a almost equal competition between chayecha kodmim, your personal rights, but fascinatingly, with all of that, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh is an important enough consideration that your own conscience and your own judgment, can prevail. We have other models of this in the halacha, particularly in some cases, a person wants to be nichnas in a safek pikuach nefesh to save someone else from a vaday pikuach nefesh. We have such models as well. But it's a very fascinating idea, and it highlights a certain perspective. The other one is, the Rishonim make distinctions between the details. How much are you giving up, and how much are you accomplishing? What they call mitzvah rabbah or mitzvah derabin. If we're dealing with saving you from terrible, chet, and if the price you're paying is minor enough, then it's justified. Otherwise, no. There are two versions of this, in my opinion. It really is not so clear, but this is based on an analysis. One is that we're dealing with a cost-benefit analysis, much the same way that the Ritva did, except that the Ritva's conclusion, fascinatingly, was personal choice, personal conscience, which is quite extraordinary. Not that there is personal choice and personal conscience, but that in this context, or this kind of a context, there is. Others will say, it's a cost-benefit. It's not me, self-interest, self-preservation, altruism. It's, let's look at the totality in terms of either the klal, right? What's the world of mitzvos, the world of Torah, the world of klal Yisrael, have they benefited enough in this particular case? Because it's an almost even clash of considerations between the different factors. Mitzvah rabba, mitzvah rabim, iser rabba, iser klila. We're going to try to figure out how you measure those things when ena teodea matan skor and shal mitzvah. That's a different story. That's also a fascinating subplot. But there are gemaras that say about certain things, mitzvah rabba, mitzvah derabim, and so on. But what I want to suggest is that there's another perspective which I think also explains some of these considerations, mitzvah rabba, mitzvah derabim as well. And it goes back to what I was suggesting with regard to mitzvos, the yatzamotzi part, and earlier. And that is, that it's clearly, there are different dimensions, in mitzvos and isurim. And while it's true that everything you do is done on a personal level and on a tzibur level, the personal component or motif and the tzibur component in different mitzvos and different contexts certainly differs. So what the Gemara, what some of the Rishonim call mitzvah rabbah, or mitzvah derabim, instead of being a calculation, a cost-benefit quantitative or qualitative, you know, calculation, you know, what tips the balance is really a way, in some cases, of identifying, you know, which isurim are more national and more collective, and which ones are more personal and individual. For example, the Bali Tosa say, when it comes to the matter of Piri of Arivia, a certain case of an Eved, Chatzi Ben Horin, Piri of Arivia, Mitzvah Derabim, or Mitzvah Rabbah, they're two different formulations, Mitzvah Rabbah Shaini. That's one example. Another example, the Gemara has a story in Brachos, they had to be Meshachre or an Eved Knani, in order to make a minion, Mitzvah Derabim, Shaini. The Ramban has a very famous, very important comment as well. The Gemara Pesachim says that if a person, in order to bring a Korban Pesach, so he had to first overcome his status. He was Tameh, and he had to bring a Korban Mechusrei Kippurim. The details are not important right now. And the other way to do that was to bring it after the time when normally this is to be brought. So the Kohanim, this is the problem the Bali Tosas deal with, would have to violate the Isra called Hashlama in order to bring this fellow's Korban, Mechusar Kapara, so that he'd be eligible for the Mitzvah Saseh Sheyesh Bakaris of Korban Pesach. That's an example of Chatei. We're telling the Kohen Chatei, Kadesha Tazaka Chavercha. So the Ramban says, I don't think this is a problem. Because we paskin that, you know, Kohanim are Shluchei Didon, they're the Shlichim of Klal Yisrael. And as shlichim of Klal Yisrael, they have the right to do it. He doesn't explain so much what he means. Let me give you one other example, since it's connected to the parsha. With this, we'll conclude. The Ritva Neiravin says another case. But one kohen had to cut the mum of another kohen. You're not allowed to do that, but there's the only way that he was going to be worthy of doing the kahuna. So the Ritva also has a comment like this, where he says, to make somebody a kohen, you know, that's a different matter. You know, it's important for Klal Yisrael for half Kohan. So I think that the idea that the Rishonim are expressing is that there are certain mitzvos, in addition to the regular tzibur component, which really are mitzvos to Rabbin, mitzvos shel tzibur. Piri of Arivia, it's obvious. Right? This is the future of Klal Yisrael. That's why marriage and the role of Piri of Arivia within marriage is treated with such significance. It's not just a practical way of populating the world or the Jewish community. The concept of Piri of Arivia and Ishus is very much a tzibur idea. Making the minyan, clearly. But kahuna, and the institution of kahuna, is a great example of that as well. We read in this week's parsha, you know, by the elevation of the kohanim through, you know, the begadim, bezman shebegdeyam aleihem, you know, the idea of lechavod or letifares, the idea that Kohanim, that there is a group, there's a shechva, there's a population in Klal Yisrael who are the Misharsei Hashem, who represent Klal Yisrael. That idea is not just an individual one. It's not a question of a single Kohen violating for the sake of a single Yisrael. And there are many other examples of this as well. So where we have a tzibur component in a mitzvah, our calculation is no longer chayacha kodmin versus your obligation to your friend. It becomes, like my interpretation of the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah, kol Yisrael guf echa. So let me just end by just summarizing. What we've really seen, though, is a tremendous range of kol Yisrael items of that. And there's really just a lot more to talk about, certainly the way the Rishonim expanded it in all sorts of other areas, and the Achronim even more. Klal Yisrael apparently had this sense that Kol Yisrael or Eidim Zalah, this idea, this concept, is really a vital one, you know, for the Tzibur's life, and something which really underscores the uniqueness of Jewish life on an individual level and in a communal level. And because of that, we see echoes or actual expressions which in many cases, if we have the time to do the analysis further, are not even mutually exclusive. In some cases, basically, we have the merging of the interests of two individuals, almost at the expense of Chayecha Kodmin, whether it's Lira'a or Litova. And the fact that the Gemara speaks initially Lira'a, and yet there's so much development on the mitzvah side, and even mitzvos, you know, to overcome, or averos for the sake of mitzvos, is a fascinating phenomenon here as well. So the idea on both of these levels, that sometimes koyisol areva means that there is no boundary between people, is a very remarkable idea. The idea that even when there is a boundary, I would sometimes be obligated, acknowledged, to sacrifice my own spiritual well-being for the sake of another, is a different but an equal kind of a chiddush. It basically says that, notwithstanding boundaries, extending help to a neighbor is a sufficiently important fact and factor in Jewish life that it requires, or that it justifies, great sacrifices. And there's a third element, and that is when Klal Yisrael really do emerge as a single, collective, indivisible unit, in which case our calculation isn't about this one or that one, or merging or not merging. It really is about the totality of the tzibur of Klal Yisrael. In most cultures, even these three perspectives would be mutually exclusive. The fact that they're not, and that they develop in such a flexible way in the halacha, is something which reinforces the idea that indeed, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh in all of its aspects is really a linchpin in Yadus and in the life of Kedusha that allows for, or makes not just a slogan out of, the concept of being a Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. Thank you.